Eesti Filharmoonia Kammerkoor lõpetas 17. veebruaril oma 3-nädalase Austraalia turnee. Selle käigus avanes erakordne võimalus teha koostööd Austraalia Kammerorkestri ja nende kunstilise juhi, viiuldaja Richard Tonietiga. Sydneys, Melbourneis, Canberras, Adelaides ja Perthis anti ühtekokku 8 kontserti pealkirjaga Pärt ja Pah, millega avati Austraalia Kammerorkestri uus hooaeg. Richard Tonietti on Austraalia Kammerorkestri ees alates aastast 1989 ja ta nimetati kunstiliseks juhiks tõepoolest väga noorena, kui ta oli vaid 25-aastane. Just tema on orkestri kujundanud selliseks, et The Guardian on neid nimetanud maailma parimaks kammerorkestriks. Lisaks filigraansetele kontsertidele iseloomustavad neid ka ühised suusareisid ja muidugi kirg surfamise vastu. Kontsertturneedelegi stardivad nad pillikast seljas ja surfilaud käes. Vestlesime Richard Tonietiga Sydneys. Esmalt tuli jutuks see, millal Tonietti esimest korda Eesti Filharmoonia Kammerkoorist kuulis. Ja selgub, et see oli isegi varem, kui ta Tõnu Kaljustega tuttavaks sai.
Probably before I joined the Australian Chamber Orchestra, so a long time ago. And then shortly after I joined the Australian Chamber Orchestra, Tõnu Kaljusista, I've said his name really bad, yeah, came to Australia and we became friends and then I went to Tallinn, I think it was about 1995, so 1 quisquillion years ago, and fell in love with Tallinn and of course your incredible singing tradition.
Austraalia Kammerorkestri juht Richard Tonietti külastas Tallinna 1995. aastal, armus sellesse linna ja muidugi meie imelisse laulutraditsiooni. Tema sõnul on see sügavamate juurtega kui kuskil mujal maailmas.
Well, I know that you know that whole area. You know, the Finns sing, the Swedes sing, so the Nords sing and of course you're there in between the Baltics and the Nords, the Nordic peoples. But you just seem to have this fantastic tradition of singing together. And I mean, there are great choirs in Anglo-Saxon countries, especially in Britain, but it's not so deeply rooted. It's not like you find choirs in every small town. And so I suppose that's where the tradition is, whether there's a distinctive sound. I think you have a mellifluous sort of character, but maybe that's because, you know, you became so famous singing Arvo Pärt. So maybe that music made your style. I don't know.
Eesti koorilaulu kultuuri tugevus väljendub Tonietti sõnul selles, et meil on peaaegu igas külas oma koor. Muidugi on ka anglosaksi maades, eriti Suurbritannias, väga häid koore, aga nende traditsioon ei ole nii sügavale juurdunud. Kui püüda iseloomustada Eesti koori kõla, siis nimetas ta seda sulnilt voolavaks. Aga võib-olla tuleneb see asjaolust, et koor sai tuntuks Arvo Pärdi muusikat lauldes ning nende kõlakultuur tuleb hoopis sellest muusikast. Austraalia Kammerorkestri hooaja avakontserdil esitas Eesti Filharmoonia Kammerkoor nendega Arvo Pärdi ja Johann Sebastian Bachi muusikat. Richard Tonietti sõnul on nende kahe helilooja kombinatsioon ilmselge.
Well, I mean, the Pärt and Bach combination is very obvious. I mean, ecclesiastical music, you know, based on the praise of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, helping our human weaknesses, the whole Lutheran notion of I can't wait to die, which maybe isn't in Pärt so much, is it? But certainly in Bach, the whole Lutheran spirit of, you know, the sour life and I can't wait to find salvation, which pervades so much of Bach. And then you get beauty out of this human horror. It seems that you jump over the horror and go straight to the beauty with Pärt. But the combination is obvious, you know, screamingly obvious. But it was more the combination of our composer Peter Sculthorpe and Arve Pärt that I've always dreamt about. And I've always wanted to take this music into the desert, because there's something very much about open landscape that I feel with Pärt. It's not the music you'd necessarily put to an urban environment, is it? So I always thought it would be a good combination to find Sculthorpe and Pärt.
Richard Tognetti ammune soov oli ühendada Arvo Pärdi ja Austraalia helilooja Peter Sculthorpe'i muusika. Tema sõnul peituvad mõlema loomingus avarad maastikud ning tema unistuseks on see muusika kõrbesse viia. Bach ja Pärti ühendab aga vaimulik alge ning kui Bachi puhul domineerib luterlik mõttelaad maapealse elu kibedusest, milles ei jõuta teise ilma pääsemist ära oodata, siis Pärdi puhul on tunne, just kui võiks inimlikust õudusest üle hüpata ja otse iluni jõuda. Austraalia helilooja Peter Sculthorpe ei ole ehk nii tuntud kui Arvo Pärt või näiteks Jean Sibelius, aga ometi on ta sarnaselt neile loonud maastiku, mis defineerib ilmeksimatult tema kodumaad.
So he's born in Launceston in Tasmania. He died a few years ago. He was a modernist, and like Pärt, he ended up finding his own language through a more simple means of expression rather than the complexity of modernism. He wrote a lot for strings and then arranged a lot of string quartets for the Australian Chamber Orchestra. So we have quite a bit of music that we can play by Peter Sculthorpe. I think it's fair to say that Arvo Pärt isn't necessarily responding to the Estonian landscape, but yet he's created a landscape that is Estonian in much the same way that Sibelius, he defined Finland, and Arvo Pärt in many ways has defined Estonia, and in many respects Peter Sculthorpe has defined a certain musical character in Australia. It mightn't be so world-renowned as Arvo Pärt or Sibelius, let alone Sibelius, but there is something distinctive about it in a way that's different to Pärt or Sibelius, although Sibelius did respond to the landscape, but Sculthorpe, just about everything he does or did, was a response to the landscape. And the relationship that not only he had to the landscape, but the Indigenous people obviously through the eyes of Peter Sculthorpe, but the Indigenous relationship to our unique, vast and interesting continent.
Peter Sculthorpe'i loominguline tegevus oli täielikult seotud Austraalia maastikega ja eriti sellega, kuidas aborigeenid tema silme läbi selle unikaalse ja avara kontinendiga suhestusid. Sarnaselt Pärdile oli temagi algul modernist, kuid leidis oma helikeele lõpuks lihtsamate väljendusvahendite kaudu.
You said you wanted to take this music to desert. Mm. Why?
Well, as I was saying, I don't think Arvo Pärt is the music that defines or describes or resonates with, downtown Manhattan necessarily, and it's something about being alone. I've always felt that somehow Sculthorpe and Pärt in the desert would make for a extraordinary combination out in the stars there.
Thank you.
Richard Tognetti rääkis oma unistusest viia Austraalia helilooja Peter Sculthorpe'i ja Arvo Pärdi muusika kõrbesse. Sealse tähistaeva all võiks luua erakordse koosluse. Austraalia kammerorkestri hooaja avakontserdil kõlas aga veel ühe Eesti helilooja muusika. See oli Kalina Grigorjeva kooriteos In Paradisum. Küsisin, kuidas Tognetti tema loomingu leidis.
I think our artistic administrator found her and we were really on a positive discrimination mission to find women. We put together a program in Maribor a few years ago called Woman. And we, of course, had Lily Boulanger. But then Nadia Boulanger, of course, is the most powerful woman in music, possibly of all time, because she's disseminated so much information and inspired so many, you know, mainly males to write. But the inspiration came from a woman. And then, of course, Clara Schumann. And so, but now it's not so difficult to find really good female composers. So it was, yeah, I think it's fair, honest, to say it was a result of positive discrimination. We said, we will find a woman. It used to be really difficult because of the discrimination against women in composition. It's funny because, you know, the Vienna Philharmonic, which was an extraordinarily sexist institution, you know, had their reasons that, oh, well, women are a weaker sex and they couldn't perform the instruments as well. But funnily enough, you know, when you look at it, all the great female roles are sung by women. So it doesn't really hold. And so this was pervasive until recently. And I think a lot of people still would hold that, you know, women aren't capable of being good composers. But it's just not true. Increasingly, it's easier to find women composers just because of the liberation that women have experienced.
Kalina Grigorjeva looming sattus Austraalia kammerorkestri kunstilise meeskonna huviorbiiti osaliselt tänu positiivsele diskrimineerimisele. Nad otsustasid nimelt leida ka ühe naiselilooja teose ning pöörasid oma pilgu naiseliloojate poole ka mõned aastad tagasi Maribori festivalil, mida Richard Tognetti kureerib. Tänapäeval pole tema sõnul enam raske tõeliselt häid naiseliloojaid leida, aga varem naisi selles valdkonnas tõesti diskrimineeriti. Hea näide on Viini filharmoonikud, kes ei palganud oma orkestrisse naisi kuni aastani 1997 põhjusel, et naised on nõrgem sugupool ja nad lihtsalt ei oska pilli mängida. Naljakas mõelda, et kõiki suuri rolle laulavad naised, rääkis Tognetti. Taoline mentaliteet oli veel hiljuti valdav ja paljud hoiavad sellest jätkuvalt kinni. Aga millal see olukord võiks ühtlustuda?
See, I'm not after equality. I think that's a forced word, and that's why I'm careful about using positive discrimination. In our case, I use it a little bit in quotation marks. But we did set out to find a woman. Now, if we hadn't found a woman that we felt who'd written something good, we wouldn't have put it on the program. So, you know, the notion that it should be 50-50, I'm not so sure that that's something that we should necessarily force, because it may never happen. Or it mightn't just be equal, it might end up being 90% women. So it's not equality, is it? I think the word equality is shorthand for a level playing field so that women get the same opportunities or are offered the same opportunities, so they're liberated from the shackles of servitude and sexism. Whether it creates equality or whether you end up with equality is not really the point. It might be that women aren't as good as, you know, or certain types of women aren't as good as certain types of males in composition. That also isn't the point either. It's just if women want to compose, they should be given the opportunity. That's all it is. So now they have been given the opportunity, and there's not a prejudiced society in the most part, in Western societies. That's all we should try to achieve. Look, if you look at Saudi Arabia, for example, and you were to say, see, women are really bad drivers, Well, they're not given the opportunity to drive, so you can't make that analysis. And I've heard it time and time again. I mean, it goes back to, I think it was Schopenhauer, who's horribly sexist. You know, said that women aren't able to do it. Well, it's only because they weren't given the opportunity.
Positiivse diskrimineerimisega peab olema ettevaatlik, rõhutas Donietti, sest me ei aja taga mitte seda, et mees- ja naiseliloojaid oleks võrdselt, vaid et nii meestel kui ka naistel oleksid võrdsed võimalused tegeleda sellega, millega nad tahavad. Võib-olla on kunagi hoopis 90% heliloojatest naised ja see ei oleks ju võrdsus. Võrdsed mänguvõimalused on kõik, mille poole me peaksime püüdlema. Vähemalt lääne ühiskond on selles osas teinud suure sammu edasi. Tõesti, kui vaatame näiteks Saudi Araabiat, siis võiks öelda, et naised on halvad autojuhid, aga neil polegi lubatud autot juhtida, nii et me ei saa sellisele järeldusele jõuda. Just selliste mõtetega alustas Richard Donietti oma 30. hooaega Austraalia kammerorkestri ees. Küsisin, kuidas see on nii läinud.
I don't know. I can't think of anything else to and they haven't got a strong enough legal team to get rid of me. I don't know how it happened. Look, I'm the driving power of music. I mean, when you perform this music, is there anything better you can do on earth except... No, but even looking at a Rembrandt, you know, if one accepts that Rembrandt is the Bach of, you know, the visual world, but you can only look at a Rembrandt, whereas you're actually creating a Rembrandt or part of the creative process or interpretive process. It's not just looking, but you're bringing it to life, this great music of J.S. Bach. And these motets, of course, for you singers, are amongst the greatest creations of humankind. So I can't think of anything else to do. You know, I'm not ambitious to run a big orchestra. I'd hate to do that. I think it'd be horrible. It'd be like being a bureaucrat in Brussels or something. So as well as being a, you know, musician. So I like living in Australia. My son's here. I can't think of anything else to do or better to do.
Kas maailmas on midagi paremat kui muusika, arutles Donietti. Isegi Rembrandti maale saab ainult vaadata, samas kui muusikat esitades saad sa seda just kui ise uuesti luua. Ma ei oska välja mõelda midagi paremat ja mul pole mingit ambitsiooni juhatada suurt orkestrit. See oleks kohutav. Umbes nagu olla üheaegselt Brüsseli bürokraat ja samas ka muusik. Ma armastan elada Austraalias, minu poeg on siin ja ma ei suuda kujutleda midagi paremat, mida elus teha. Nõnda kõneles Austraalia kammerorkestri juht, viuldaja Richard Donietti. Kuulsite katkendit Austraalia kammerorkestri ja Eesti Filharmoonia kammerkoori ühistest kontsertidest pealkirjaga Bach ja Pärt. Järgnevalt saame tuttavaks Austraalia kammerorkestri uusima liikmega ja seda 430 aasta vanust tegelast tutvustab meile orkestri viiuldaja Ike C.
So this is a Brothers Amati violin made in Cremona in 1590. So it's 429 years old this year.
So how did you end up playing this?
So we were very fortunate to get our hands on this about 6 months ago. So I've been playing it it's been on trial in the orchestra. We've got an instrument fund, the ACO Instrument Fund, which is basically a fund for investors if they want to, you know, invest in an instrument, which then gets played by, you know, various members of the orchestra. So we've got, at the moment, I think this is the third violin. We've got a Strand, a Guarneri, and then we've also got a Brothers Amati cello from 1616. So this is the fifth instrument of the fund.
Austraalia kammerorkestri uusim liige on niisiis 430 aasta vanune viiul, mille autoriteks on Itaalia kuulsad pillimeistrid vennad Amatid. Orkestri juures tegutseb pillifond, millesse nende investorid panustavad ning tänu sellele on Austraalia kammerorkestril juba 3 väga hinnalist viiulit, lisaks eelnimetatule ka 1 Stradivarius ja Guarneri ning samuti 1 vendade Amatide cello aastast 1616. Võib öelda, et need instrumendid on hindamatu väärtusega.
They're priceless, I think. If you put a figure on it, I mean, this instrument was purchased for just about $1 million Australian dollars. So, highly valuable, yeah.
But how does it work in Australia? Are there a lot of people who are ready to invest in instruments?
I think a lot of the investors come from, you know, our pool of supporters, but also we've had recently our first institutional investor, which was the Media Super. So the super funds are like kind of a sort of pension in Australia, and Media Super kind of takes care of the orchestras and other arts organizations. So they've recently put in $1 million and then another $1 million that made it possible for us to buy this instrument.
And how long are you able to play this? Is it yours now?
For now. I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see. It's kind of up to Richard and also the other Richard to kind of decide how the rotation works. But it's nice to be able to play on one instrument for a while because, you know, you need to get to know the instrument and the instrument needs to get to know you. So, yeah, hopefully for a while.
Sometimes instrumentalists talk about their instruments like human beings. How would you describe yours?
How would I describe my instrument? It's a very warm instrument, I think. It's, you know, it's got a very warm and powerful sound, and it's very even all the way through. I found that it's shown me, you know, a lot more possibilities than my previous instrument, which is great.
Could you play something?
Sure, probably a tune. What would you like?
Whatever you would like.
Austraalia kammerorkestri viiuldaja Ike C iseloomustas vendade Amatide poolt valmistatud instrumenti kui väga sooja, võimsa ja ühtlase kõlaga pilli. See on näidanud talle palju rohkem võimalusi kui tema eelmine viiul. Eesti Filharmoonia kammerkoor avas Richard Tonietti juhatusel Austraalia kammerorkestri hooaja turneega 5. Austraalia linnas. Aga 2 viimast kontserti anti dirigent Tõnu Kaljuste juhatusel, ja viimasel kontserdil Perthis kuulutas dirigent välja omanimelise stipendiumi selle aastase laureaadi, kelleks on Mai Simson.
Selle preemia looja on New Yorki eestlane Epp Zirk. Tema helistas mulle, et ta tahab Eesti kultuurifondi Ameerika Ühendriikides annetada $50,000, et selle peale rajada minu nimeline stipendium. Et on olnud meie tegevuse jälgija. Eesti muusikud on palju New Yorkis esinenud ja tal tekkis soov, et see minu nimeline stipendium saaks olema alati seotud muusikakadeemia noorte tudengitega. Ja nüüd selle aastal anname selle välja teist korda. Esimene aasta sai stipendiumi Pärt Uusberg ja teiseks stipendiaadiks selle aastal on Mai Simpson. Mai Simpsoniga sai eelmine aasta tehtud ära väga suur töö. Esiteks oratoorum Joonas tuli meile vanadest käsikirjadest välja sellisena, nagu ta kõlas. Selles on suur teene ka Mai Simpsonil, kes oli koormeister ja redaktor. Ta kontrollis kõike noote 50 korda ja see suur töö oli tõesti niisugune, mis on tihti peale varju jäänud dirigentide töös. Vaadatakse rohkem seda lõpptulemust, aga dirigendi natuur, eriti kooride juures, on väga eripalgelisi. Mõned koormistid on tohutult tähtsad ja ma arvan, et seda tüüpi dirigendi välja toomine on selle aasta stipendiaadi niisugune põhjus.
Kuidas pilt aastaga muutunud on? Kas oli kerge seda valikut teha? Te olete dirigeerimisosakonna juhataja. Mis siis praegu toimub muusikakadeemias?
Ma arvan, et see väljendus, et on kerge või raske väljenda, võib-olla ei ole või kõige täpsem, sest iga aasta on aasta erinev, üliõpilased on erinevad ja ka mõnikord idee väljaandmiseks saab olema erinev. Et me ei võta noorele koorijuhile olevad preemed ühenäolisena. Et dirigendid võivad olla oma tegevuses küllaltki aktiivsed. Aga olulisim võib-olla, mida mina vaatan, et selles inimeses on niisugune tegu see, mis on nagu juba panustab meie Eesti muusika elule ja et tal on mingis asjas olemas eripära, nii et iga aasta peaks see olema eripärane, see väljaandmine ja inimene peab olema eriline.
Mis te mõtlete, et need inimesed, laureaadid, võiks selle preemiaga peale hakata?
No see on iga inimese enda asi. Kui ma olin noor ja mingi suurem rahakene tuli, siis sai panustatud hästi palju plaatide ostmisesse ja nootide ostmisesse. Tänapäeval see asi on kõik ilma rahata Spotifyst käes, aga tellida saad noote. Mul on väga raske öelda, mille peale tänapäeval võib-olla parandavad elutingimusi või saavad õppima sõita, mõnda huvitavad kontsertid vaatama või näevad kuskil huvitavad õpetust, tahavad osaleda selles. Siin on variantide hulk väga suur, nii et kõik iga stipendiaadi fantaasiast kõik oleneb.
Nõnda kõneles oma nimelise stipendiumi selle aastasest laureaadist dirigent Tõnu Kaljuste ja sellised olid muljed Eesti Filharmoonia Kammerkoori 3-nädalaselt Austraalia turneelt.